Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
This was not a matchup game. This was not a talent equated game, and it was never meant to be. But in terms of tune-ups for Ohio State, I'm not sure that they could have asked for much more. Welcome to Snap Judgments. Game number two in the books for Ohio State. It was a 70-0 win over Grambling here at the Horseshoe. A beautiful Saturday.
Yeah.
These are Snap Judgments on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel, 10TV, 10TV Plus, and anywhere that you download podcasts, you can get it right there. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Think that went just about what we expected.
It's hard to find areas to complain, but we will.
What?
Just kidding. I mean, we will. That's our job.
Oh, okay.
Our job is to nitpick. Our job is
that's to, Ryan Day's job.
Our job is to judgment snappily. But the first judgment is that Ohio State did whatever they wanted, with the exception of one throw that Julian Sain threw for an interception. It was the only ball that he threw today that did not enter the intended hands of its receiver. It set a new school record for most consecutive interceptions to start a game with 18.
They're not called interceptions. Those are called
receptions. Sorry. Receptions, completions, all those things. 18 of them, which actually ties Kyle McCord's school record for most completions in a row over any stretch of games, but it is a new single game record for Julian Sain. So pretty good job. 300 plus yards in the first half. I don't know how many touchdowns he threw. It seemed like a lot. One to Carnell, two to Jeremiah. Was that it?
I thought there were five, but
there probably were. I'm trying to remember who else scored in the first half. Oh, the first one, of course.
Will Kaczmarek, sir.
The first one to Will Kaczmarek.
The year of the tight end is in full effect.
And it's happening at Ohio State. Five different tight ends got balls thrown to them today. I think they played six different tight ends because Brody Lennon did not get one thrown to him when he was in at the end of the game. But this went exactly the way it had to go for Ohio State, which is they got a chance to see a lot of dudes. They got a chance to do some different stuff offensively. They got a chance to go out and play pretty milquetoast defensively. Didn't do a lot. Didn't rush the passer particularly aggressively. Didn't try to do much on defense. Just said, hey. And kudos to Grambling State for showing up and playing the game, because they could have done what a lot of teams have done through the years when they come in here and they're outmatched and wind the clock down to 1 second per, you know, every play. Run the ball, take, and I appreciate them trying to play.
They
their
tried,
game.
Yeah. And that's why I think was the point that we made on the pregame keys. Like, it's not a scrimmage.
Yeah.
And you know, you can have opponents, to your point, that come in and basically treat it that way. They know that they have no chance of winning, and they're going to run it three times, and it's going to take up as much time. If they get a first down, great. Run 6 minutes off the clock, protect themselves. We've seen that before. We've seen good teams try to do that to Ohio State. So Grambling, give them credit, I do, for that. They gave Ohio State real looks, which means that when we're talking about evaluations, whether that's Julian Sain, whether that's, you know, Riley Pettijohn, Aaron Scott,
or guys, young running backs,
yeah, you know, Bo Jackson, Isaiah West, anywhere in between, like, I think you can take some measure of evaluation stock credit in it. Now, this is going to be the worst team that Ohio State plays.
Yep.
So you don't want to maybe go overboard on that. But as Ryan Day said a week ago, when he was not putting a lot of these same players out there against Texas, it was the first timeness.
Yeah.
And that even applies to Julian Sain. Now, this was the first interception. Now, we can all point to the completions, and some of them easier than others. I would cover Jeremiah Smith if it were me. Yeah. Might be the only thing we could suggest to Mickey Joseph and Grambling over there. But you also get, you know, those teaching points done. Edric Houston still in that first timeness mode, and you can't have the penalties when you get into the talent equated games, the matchup games. That was not what this is, but you'll take the teaching points. And I don't think that that means that I'm ready to start nitpicking what happened and not focusing on the players that were shining out there and like really making an impact for the first time in the Horseshoe. But you know, I think that's the art of coaching, and not, you know, not the science of it.
Well, I mean, Ryan Day acknowledged in his post-game press conference that on Tuesday, we talked about it on Snap Judgments on Tuesday, that there was like an obvious, okay, let's take a deep breath and everyone can relax just a little bit. And Ryan Day acknowledged that he was worried about that on Tuesday Wednesday came, they had a good practice. Thursday, they were business, like he said. And you know, it's a sign of a really good team. This is a team that has an excuse to get lackadaisical. They just played Texas. They just played five straight games against top 10 teams or top five teams. And they could have easily come out today and played sloppy, and they didn't. They came out and played pretty precise. Even early in the game, the Buckeyes seemingly didn't want to run today. They wanted to let it open up for Julian Sain. And again, 18 and 19 in the game, 300 yards, five touchdowns. Like, light work for a guy making a second career start. But the most impressive thing about Julian is just that he continues to just make the right decisions, with the exception, obviously, notably, of that interception where he, I think, was trying to find Jeremiah Smith.
All right, I just want to make sure, because we said five. It was four.
Four touchdowns. Four touchdowns.
Correction in real time.
Five total passing touchdowns.
Got a little bit overwhelming when they scored 10 touchdowns in the game. So that's on us.
Five total passing touchdowns for Ohio State. There it one is. For Lincoln Keenum. You know, the interception, he had Jeremiah Smith on a slant, and it got covered, and then he just forced something. But that's what happens. And we saw that with quarterbacks throughout the years at Ohio State, because today was as close to, like, BPS C.J. Stroud. The touchdown that he threw to Carnell Tate, the second touchdown of the game, is absolutely spectacular. The first touchdown pass to Will Kaczmarek is absolutely spectacular. The easiest ball that he had all day is the 70 or the 87-yard touchdown for Jeremiah Smith. But kudos to Julian Sain. Like, this is a game he could have easily mailed it in and just didn't.
I tell you what, Carnell Tate is like an acrobat.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What he's doing with the ball skills, like every catch, because you said great throw, and I don't disagree. The ball was only where Carnell Tate could catch it. It took another sensational effort for Carnell Tate to reel that in. And like basically every catch he's had this season, I'm like, it looked like it was easy. It looked like it was perfect. Even the deep shot that Julian Sain threw to him was like,
that was an incredible catch.
He still had to adjust over his shoulder and, like, you know, not break stride to haul that in. It was really impressive. It was much more challenging than it looked initially. So Carnell Tate, he gets overshadowed so much. I don't want that to happen to him.
And it's something we've talked about in the past. Like, CJ Stroud, the ball placement specialist moniker that he grew into, was a lot of times him just putting it in a place that only Ohio State's receivers are going to catch it, and they're so good that they would. But, you know, that throw and the touchdown is one that Ohio State works on all the time. It is the one-inch throw, and he did it on the touchdown to Will Kaczmarek. He did it on the touchdown to Carnell Tate. So the difference between Ohio State and other schools is that Ohio State knows they have receivers that are all NFL receivers, and they can make those plays. So if you have those dudes, like, you can just put it there and say, go ahead and get it. Because you know what happens if he doesn't catch it? Nothing.
I was half joking, Berm, but
I'm not into jokes.
Because I wanted to riff off the CJ Stroud BPS.
Yeah.
And all three, or the first three of Julian Sain's touchdowns this season were all longer than 40 yards. So I'm like, maybe he's a DBS.
A deep ball specialist.
He's a deep ball specialist. I don't know if it's going to catch on.
Well, I don't know.
But anyway, I think today was, if we said last week was, I mean, obviously it was significant. And if it was a higher floor than anticipated, and Ryan Day and Brian Hartline were going to add more to his plate and put more on him and let him expand the passing attack, like, that happened.
Yeah, today you was can a reminder to, of the ceiling.
You can start to see what that ceiling is going to be like. And if I were playing Ohio State this year, I wouldn't like that, because it looks like he can touch every part of the field. He has receivers that can threaten you in every way conceivable. And, you know, you were right. I mean, the opportunity for Bryson Rogers to really impact this team is probably, I probably understated it. I was really impressed with his work.
He has a different gear, man. And you saw it on his first punt return. Like, he caught it and he went. And that is ultimately how you become a successful return man. You don't dance.
Yeah.
You catch the ball and you go. And Bryson Rogers is really fast. He had a nice grab. Mylon Graham showed the little wiggle that he's got. Just as close as you get to Garrett Wilson in as you can. He catches that ball on the sideline.
I've never heard anyone make that comparison.
Puts one
before.
Move on the corner and just strolls right by him. There are guys on this team that are going to continue to just get more and more opportunities and better results. And, you know, I thought Ohio State should be thrilled with even the way the second and third team offensive line played. We've seen plenty of games in Ohio Stadium over the years where the Buckeyes played an outmatched opponent and the backup offensive line came in and didn't get the job done.
It's, yeah. gets pushed around.
That was not the case today. That you know, it was surprising. We saw Justin Terry, the West Virginia transfer, his first opportunity to play at Ohio State, comes in at left tackle. Not Ian Moore there. Ian Moore was on the right side. It wasn't Deontay Armstrong, I apologize, who we thought maybe was going to be battling for that fourth tackle spot. But now it seems like Justin Terry's that guy. So
it's wild. That's the first time we've mentioned his name.
Yeah, it goes to show what Tyler Bowen is doing behind the scenes, because I'm going to tell you, even when the third string offensive line came in at the end of the game and you had, I don't even, who was playing center in that third alignment? You had Carter Lowe and Jake Cook on the left side of the line, mauling people, really opening up on the 51-yard run for Bo Jackson. Big time block by Jake Cook. That was where Deontay Armstrong was at right tackle. Like there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of guys that took advantage of their opportunity today.
Riley Pettijohn certainly did. And if there's anyone defensively that I think will come out of this game being like, what if there was a way to use him more? It's got to be him, because and I don't see that path, because Arvell Reese is an alien. Sonny Styles was born and raised to be the block O and the embodiment of defensive football at Ohio State. Peyton Pierce continues to play at a very high level. I guess that's the benefit and the remarkable job that James Laurinaitis has done. And like, that is your fourth linebacker. The future is bright, and if you need him in the present, look out, because he came in, he got into the game right before halftime. He immediately made a tackle. And on the first play of the second half, he is scooping up a fumble and taking it back for a touchdown.
Which was not – like, no one else was even seemingly aware the ball was on the ground. And it was a really heads-up play by Riley Pettijohn to grab that.
Caden McDonald forces that fumble. Riley Pettijohn takes it back for a touchdown. You think, well, that's a pretty splashy, quote-unquote, debut for somebody. And then he's like, no, no, no. Watch me force this fumble, too. Like, we're not done yet. I mean, you cannot ask for more from a true freshman defensive player. And, again, I know it's grambling, grain of salt, all that. The athleticism is undeniable.
Yeah, we're not going to sit here and try to find things to pick apart about a 70-0 win that had 650 yards. Like, they did everything they wanted to do. They could have scored 100 points in this game if they really wanted. That's what you expect when you're Ohio
State. Seems like they kind of did want that.
I appreciate Ryan Day saying, let's run the offense, because the odds are that Tavian St. Clair is not going to play again the rest of this season, right?
Probably not.
And I wish he would have had an opportunity to throw a ball into the end zone there at the end, like Lincoln Keenholz got on his touchdown to Jelani Thurman. But I understand why you don't. But the reality of that matter was Grambling was not going to stop Bo Jackson or Sam Williams Dixon or Sam Dixon. I apologize. He's dropped the Williams or Isaiah West or anybody else in that situation. I thought one guy to me, like if we're talking about players that maybe aren't going to play a lot the rest of the season, but someone that popped to me was TJ Alford. Mm. Like that dude came in his first play and rocked a running back in the backfield. I think he had four tackles in a very limited time, playing in the Arvell Reese role, standing up at the line of scrimmage, kind of being a stand-up edge rusher. That was encouraging. Garrett Stover played. I mean, we saw Joey Velasquez. They went deep today. I don't know how many guys they went. If it was 70 players and they scored 70 points, do I still get my crown even though I said 66?
I believe I said if the number and matched. Score matched.
Okay, that we'll have to check the participation report.
But yeah.
Overall, there's going to be time to nitpick, and I know people are waiting for me to complain about something, but I'm not going to. We will have plenty of time to talk about the areas that could have been a slightly better performance today throughout the week ahead. Ohio's coming in. That's a pretty good Ohio Bobcats team. They just knocked off West Virginia.
It's right up there.
Knocked off West Virginia.
17-10.
For the first time in 70 years or something. Played Rutgers pretty close. I'm sorry, Wisconsin pretty – no.
Rutgers.
Played them down to the wire. Go and beat West Virginia. Last year's MAC champ. Like, they're going to be a game competitor next week. And I think this was the perfect, like, exhale and work on some stuff game for Ohio State.
Yeah, well – the race to get better is...
Did you see Matt Patricia after the game? I'm still gimpy. I'm still working on my leg/ankle. I did mock him, and I asked him. I told him I was happy that they gave him a real shirt this week.
It was a streamlined post-game because it was 7-0 nothing, and I feel like that's totally fine.
Yep.
A game you get in and out. It would have been hard to choose. Like, hey, if you scored a touchdown or you created a turnover, you got to go talk. We'd have been up there all night.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. So we talked to Julian Sain, Caden Curry, Jeremiah Smith, and Ryan Day, and I believe that was it. And all of them, not Jeremiah. We let Jeremiah forego the notebook, but you can hear from those other guys as well.
What a pick by Caleb Downs. That was ridiculous.
This combination of Matt Patricia and Caleb Downs is crazy.
Was he hiding behind the defensive
No, he was lined up like in the defensive front, and he sort of like engaged for a second and then dropped back into coverage, and it worked. It tricked Grambling, the quarterback Reed. He's like, this is going to be open because Caleb Downs was down here. I should be good. And Caleb Downs leaps up, makes an incredible interception. And we joked throughout, you know, too many jokes, I guess. Or we entertained the possibility. Is there anything that you could not ask Caleb Downs to do? It's like, well, you couldn't just line him up at defensive end or play on the defensive line. It turns out Matt Patricia was like, you know what? I can do that, and I will. I'm going to find a way. And it created a turnover. And they're just getting, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg. Because you can ask Caleb Downs. He's got the football IQ, the athleticism, like everything you need to dip into the defensive encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And Matt Patricia can just, like, the only limit is his imagination. And we saw that today.
Yeah, and that's one area where people kind of knock Caleb or the NFL scouts. Are like, well, he doesn't create a lot of turnovers. Like, he has had interceptions thrown to him, I think, the last six games. He hasn't got one in all of them, and he's got three in his last five games, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing okay. He's turning it on and becoming a much more.
If Arch Manning was more accurate, he would have had one last week.
It's crazy. Like it's like Caleb Downs is becoming more valuable. Like, how is that even possible?
Because I think Matt Patricia is like, look at this toy, and it's not to say Jim Knowles couldn't have done that, wouldn't have done that, safety-driven defense, all the rest. But like, we've talked about what they did for the last couple of years, and Jim Knowles deserves credit for that. There's a different level, I think, of creativity, flexibility, willingness to experiment with Matt Patricia. And we've only seen two games. Is this going to continue?
And again, today was pretty blasé for the most
part. But that's the part. Like, that was not something we have ever seen Caleb Downs do for Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they did that against Grambling, which tells me that there are either that's to get him some reps and maybe that's or put it on film and let somebody know that it's there, or to continue to toy and expand the portfolio for what Caleb Downs can do. Maybe both of those things exist at the same time, but he wasn't afraid to show a new wrinkle today because he's got that whole other book of it sitting in his office, and he's going to go in there and take that pencil out. He's like, yep, got that one down. Now what can we do off of that? And you go back to Caleb Downs and say, here's what we did here, and now we're going to do this. And he'll be like, fine, and he'll go execute it.
Is there anybody? I'm beginning, and again, I'm trying not to overreact to anything that happened in this game, but
too late.
It is important, I guess, to point out the things that we see. Caden Curry can't come off the field for this defense anymore, right? Like,
doesn't seem like it.
Like, there's that list of guys who, like, okay, let's not take him off the field in pivotal moments, is expanding, and Caden Curry has put himself in it. That dude is just all over the field, man.
Yeah. I think that sounds like a good topic for maybe a Three Things Thursday, because defensively that would be Caleb Downs, Jalen McClain, Davison Igbinosin, Jermaine Matthews, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese. If we're talking talent-equated games, that's why they didn't come off the field against Texas.
Yeah,
but Caden McDonald and Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson, I think today he had a huge, like, bandage on his eye. I don't think we saw the fully formed version of Kenyatta Jackson today, because he probably belongs right in that conversation as well. And we're waiting for Edric Houston to make that jump. I think everybody anticipates it. He was trying to get that jump literally offsides a couple times. So that will be one of those things that as the nitpicking begins, like, okay, you got to cut out these penalties. They're not certainly going to give up on the athleticism or any of that part with him, the ability to change the game. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think Caden Curry, if there was this notion that he was going to get passed by Bo Atkinson or Logan George was coming in, it was because they didn't
believe. Or that he was some sort of like role player.
Yeah, like that's not the reality of the situation with Caden Curry. Now, I would like to see Zion Grady play a little bit more after his performance today, but again, that's probably in the overreaction category. I mean,
we saw Josh Mickens out there at defensive end, like hand in the dirt defensive end. He's a 6'2", 235-pound guy. He's like Jonathan Cooper, which I can't imagine in this existing Ohio State defense that Jonathan Cooper would play defensive end. But no. I guess we'll see how things go. There's a lot to unpack still from the Grambling State 70-0 win. That starts about 3 hours from now. It's 8 o'clock.
It's still going up tonight.
The notebook's going up tonight. It'll be online about 10 p.m. And then Austin and Zach Bourne will rehash this game for Monday morning's episode of The Beat.
Yeah.
We got Roosters on Monday.
Absolutely.
We got a big banger against the MAC champ coming up. Yeah. So there's plenty of stuff to talk about on Snap Judgments and everywhere else.
Sun is going down on the horseshoes. Sun's getting real low.
Sun's getting real low, big fella.
By this time next week, Ohio State will be hosting.
Today the Ohio is Wildcats. The final day of post 8 p.m. sunsets until April.
That's the kind of analysis that you can only get on Snap Judgments on the Austin and Burnham Show. Next week, Ohio State and Ohio. Looking forward to that. The battle for Ohio, as everyone has called it for years, going to be super excited, fired up for another game, another week. Buckeyes are 2-0. They're the number one team in the country. They beat Grambling 70-0. Thanks for joining us on 10TV, 10TV Plus, 97.1 The Fan, or anywhere that you download podcasts. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. These have been Snap Judgments. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Core, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET. Yay, yay!